I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Ruthie, Me and My Dad. And just to put you in the picture, we're recording this shortly before England step out, hopefully, to win against Croatia.
And to return football to its birthplace.
Its rightful home, you're absolutely right. Not just yet, though. Even if they beat Croatia tonight, we still have France to play. So we're not going to talk football. There are hundreds and hundreds of podcasts out there. Except to say, you watched the quarterfinal in Millennium Square Leeds. And it was... Exactly as I told you, it was full of idiots, was it not?
Yeah, but I didn't realise they were idiots until I got home and I explained and you said, oh, they're idiots.
Well, they were idiots because they were shouting a very rude word every time Raheem Sterling got the ball.
Yeah, not just when he got the ball, just when the camera was on him, really. It was a good atmosphere, though, because it was exciting and it was people of all different ethnicities. Mm. And even these boys who were the most laddish white boys possible to imagine were still, there was never anything to do with race, never.
No.
And that's my generation.
Well, I don't know why they don't like why everybody has it in for Raheem Sterling.
Because he kept getting the ball and then he didn't give it away and he didn't score a goal. I don't think it's anything to do with race.
No. Okay, fair enough. Good. I'm glad to hear that because there used to be a bit of a racist element in the Leeds United fans.
I don't think it's like that anymore.
That's good.
Maybe with the older fans, but not with boys who are 16, 17.
That's good. That's excellent. Glad to hear it. Should I start this week?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start with narcissism. And I wondered if any of your friends spend ages editing their Instagram photos, posing for Snapchat.
I spend ages editing my Instagram photos.
Oh, do you?
I take pictures, well, I edit them, and then I just don't post them.
Well, the people who are obsessive about taking pictures and posting them and editing them and making them look really good, it turns out it's good news for them. Researchers find that young people, they're calling them narcissistic adolescents.
That is what I have my full title, Ruth Kellner, the narcissistic adolescent.
Researchers found that young people who had a greater sense of superiority, entitlement and grandiosity were more likely to succeed in exams. Kostas Papageorgiou from Queen's University in Belfast says that we should reconsider our negative view of the consequences of narcissism. So as parents, if we saw our kids doing this endless editing of photographs and putting them on Instagram and Snapchat and things, we would have a negative view of that.
Just to confirm, you don't actually put photos, like edited photos, on Snapchat?
Well, presumably you prepare yourself then. You edit yourself.
Not really.
Snapchat.
Snapchat's more raw.
Is it? All right. Anyway, this is what Kostas Papageorgiou from Queen's University Belfast said. If you're a narcissist, you believe strongly that you are better than anyone else and that you deserve reward. Psychological traits are the products of evolution. They are neither bad nor good. They are adaptive or maladaptive. So in other words, you can either turn it to good or turn it to ill. But you're not really, you're a little bit narcissistic, aren't you?
I think everyone's a little bit narcissistic.
Yeah.
You're naturally going to be a little bit obsessed with yourself because that's who you're with all the time.
But this is a slightly different take on it because the way narcissism has been viewed in the past, if your child, if your teenager is spending ages in front of the mirror, etc. As parents, we would say, oh, don't be silly. People say, it's what's inside that counts all that sort of
thing. But
then
it's not, is it? Like,
no, well, clearly not. Clearly not. In fact, almost like you said last week, that the women who are very successful tend to be good looking.
Yeah.
Even though I did cite Angela Merkel as someone who's...
And there was uproar.
Uproar. Well, there wasn't exactly uproar, but we did get quite a lot of emails, not specifically about that. Should I read a couple of these? Or should I refer to a couple of... You don't like reading the emails out.
I don't like reading them out. I just don't know how interesting it is.
Well, some of them are quite interesting. Nick Store. Well, I'll tell you what is interesting. The geographical spread.
The geographical spread.
Yeah. Nick's,
yeah. So on our geography section of today's podcast...
Here's the geographical spread. Nick Store of North Georgia... He's enjoyed it. And he's been listening to, you know, he's one of my old school listeners. What you call my homies.
Your bros.
My bros. Yeah, he's one of my bros.
Your bromies.
Yeah. Craig Bruce says he was listening to the podcast in the beautiful Yarra Valley just outside Melbourne. And, of course, he's another one of my homies because...
Your bromies.
My bromies, if you like.
I don't know whether bromies is a thing. I might have just made it up.
I think you have just made
it
up. However, he did say he's originally from Glasgow, so he enjoyed... The attempts at a poor Scottish accent.
Well, that was in inverted commas.
It is, yes. When I was doing Ian Sterling. One question, though. If Ian Sterling was Indian or Chinese, would you have lampooned it?
Well, Dad would, but he wouldn't have got in the podcast.
I would, definitely. But the thing about it is that Ian Sterling is more or less lampooning his own accent. You know, when he says, "Welcome to Love Island."
Oh, it's...
It's a cartoon, isn't it?
Ian Sterling is himself when he's commentating the show. But it's a enhanced version of himself. And yeah. He puts on... The voice is slightly higher and it's slightly more exaggerated.
Jamie Wilkinson, who's in Perth, he sent me an audio of the advert that goes out in the middle. And how much do we love the products that were advertised?
All of the love.
Yeah, all of the love. It was... It's going to be Toy Mania in the Big W. The biggest toy brands at great prices. And that was advertised in the middle of our podcast. I'm rather... delighted that they think people... I suppose it's because it's a sort of father and daughter children type thing. I
suppose they've probably chosen it randomly.
It'll be an algorithm. They won't have chosen it randomly.
Do you not think so? Audience and stuff?
No, I think what they'll have is an algorithm which will look for podcasts that are about teenagers or generations or children, fathers and children, that sort of thing. So anyway, he says, having to move to Perth from Yorkshire, because the thing is, you were moaning about your accent earlier on, but you are a little drop of Yorkshire for our expat audience.
Our expat audience.
Yeah, and he says, having moved to Perth from Yorkshire a few years ago, I had hoped to hear promotions for Harrogate Sulphur Soap or Betty's Tea Room. Now, talking of narcissism...
Better not be Ruth. No, how are you?
This is... I think I'm using the word narcissism in exactly the right context here. So we're going to talk Love Island.
Let's, please. Last week, I said I hated Meghan and I liked Georgia.
Mm.
I do not like Georgia anymore.
No.
I've done I almost said a 360, but that wouldn't mean I returned to liking her.
Yeah.
I've done a 180.
A 180, yes.
I've done a 180 because she preaches about how loyal she is and then she kissed Jack on a date, even though Jack is with Laura and she claims to be best friends with Laura and she talks about how loyal she is all the time, but she's not actually loyal. And people, I might get some hate for this because a lot of people dislike Ellie greatly, but I voted for Ellie to stay in. But Ellie was saying you're loyal doesn't make you loyal, you have to prove that you're loyal. And I was like, yes, Ellie.
Hmm.
Agreed. And there was a dumping. Grace and Frankie went home. Frankie was with Samira, and so it's quite sad that he went home because Samira was really, really upset. But then I would say to Samira, if you're that upset and you're saying you're not going to meet anyone else, then why don't you leave with Frankie? Grace hadn't had any... To be honest, I don't know, she's a bit of a waste of space. So.
How long is this going to go on?
Four and a bit.
Has it? Right, mm-hmm. So another month of it to go, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so it goes on for another 4 weeks or so. Is there any sort of narrative emerging which might tell us who's going to win it?
Oh, Jack and Danny. 100%.
Really?
I put...
Money on it?
I'd put £10,000 on it.
Would you really?
Genuinely, definitely win. They've been coupled up since day one. Everybody loves them. They're really funny. They've not... Neither of them have tried to get with anyone else.
So you think they're going to...
It's just a given.
Yeah, well, you say that. If there's a month to go,
the TV people are going to have to build some
tension.
They've tried. They brought in one of his ex-girlfriends. They've only got eyes for each other. The TV producers can't stop love.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. But mark my words.
Do they bet on it? Is there betting
on it? Yeah, Costa's betting.
I'm just checking one of my many internet betting accounts to see if you can bet on Love Island. Wow. You're absolutely
spot on. Oh, my God. Of course I'm spot on. Should I try and guess who's the second most likely couple?
Yeah. Well, second most likely female. They do it in top female, top male.
Oh, yeah, of course. Because so a couple will win, but then within the couple, you'll vote on who's the most popular person in the couple. Right. And then that person will win, and they've got to decide whether they split the money or take it all for themselves. It's 50 grand.
Yeah. I know it's 50 grand. We keep saying that. Top female, then. Go on. Who is it?
Danny.
Yeah. 7-1 on. That means you have to put £7 on to win £1.
No way.
That's what it means. And top male is Jack Fincham, who's 1-7. That means you have to put £7 on to win £1 if you back Jack Fincham. So they are more or less nailed on. But the point
is... Yeah, exactly.
What's the point in watching it?
Because no, because it's not about who wins. It's not about who wins at all.
But if I was watching...
It never was about who wins.
If I go to Kempton Park to watch some horse racing... And
yeah, but it's not a show it's not about a race, it's not about who wins, it's not as simple as that.
Yeah, well, I just think I thought at least there might be some opportunity to make some money out of your knowledge, but it's pointless because everybody thinks the same as you. Camilla Long, talking about Love Island,
go on.
She's watched lots of it, says there isn't a square inch of flesh that hasn't been tightened or titivated. There isn't a boob that hasn't been pumped or pimped. There isn't a lip that hasn't been stung. A nose that hasn't been shaved or sliced or razored back to nothing. Technically, we watch the show because the contestants are all hopelessly hot and simple and stupid. But the reality is that I'm beginning to get freaked out by their faces. They're not naturally casually gorgeous, which for me is the appeal of any show set on an island. Each episode is like watching auditions for some weird naked Olympics in which all the illegal drugs have suddenly been sanctioned.
Fair
comment.
Brilliant. I would say very good writing. Very, very good writing, especially the opening. But it's not true. It's not true at all.
No.
Like, barely any of them have had nurse jobs.
The worst offender, who do you think the worst offender is?
Megan. 100%. She is really, really fake, and Laura has had her boobs done. But Georgia, Ellie, Danny, Samira, Kaz have not had any work done. Or some of them might have had their boobs done, but that's not that big of a deal.
You say that. The worst offender is a compulsive...
I love that you come back to anything I say now. It's just, you say that. Yeah, correct. I do say that.
Well, I'm just pointing out to people that they're not necessarily the views of the management. I like to think of myself as the management.
No, Interestingly,
this was the bit that I found was hilarious. Pictures of Megan before, you know, you just showed me those before pictures of Megan. Before she dumped a ton of Botox into her shimmering epidermis, surfaced last week showing a more naturally beguiling girl with glasses and a slightly bulbous nose.
Are you sure you've not read this exact same thing last week?
No, I maybe showed you in the paper.
Oh, because I'm sure you've... Unless has she reused that line of beguiling...
I've no idea.
Girl with glasses.
She may very well, but this was in Sunday's paper, so unless I was in my time machine, and I rarely use that at the weekends, we won't have had it before. But what I'll tell you what's funny. These pictures, she said, the before pictures, show a more naturally beguiling girl with glasses and a slightly bulbous nose. And then you look at Camilla Long's byline picture, and she does wear glasses, and she has a slightly bulbous nose. And you think,
bulbous nose.
That's why.
Pot, say hello to Kettle.
I'm just saying she looks... The reason she thought she was
You're
so...
You're also a beguilingly beautiful man.
Thank you
with
very much.
Glasses and a... slightly bulbous nose.
Thank you very much indeed. That's why I said to you last week when you were complaining about Jeff Goldblum, I said, no, he's a handsome Jewish man, which indeed he is.
Which he indeed is not. He's weird, though. Have you seen... I was watching Graham Norton, mm-hmm. and he was on Graham Norton, and his wife or fiancé or girlfriend or something is like 24, and she's a gymnast and contortionist. And the way he was talking about it was so weird. He's a bit of a weird one.
Well, I don't think he is. I think he's really good chat show guest.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought he was great, but I'm saying...
He's funny.
He's like 50-something, and his girlfriend's like... His
I
wife's
think
like
60 or
50, is he like 60-something?
59, late 50s.
His wife is like 20, like
it's
not
Hollywood,
much older than me.
It's Hollywood, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, it's so weird. And the way they were... but, interestingly, his wife was... You know in La La Land, when she's, like, flying, and it's that scene in the planetarium?
She was a stunt person.
She was a stunt person in that?
Mm. Well, there you go. There you go. Can I tell you a joke about...
I don't know, can you?
Well, I'll tell you one about the contortionist who...
Is this going to be not funny?
Well, you judge. Is it a contortionist was also a clairvoyant and could foresee her own end.
Oh, ha 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 ha. Would you like to smoke some weed?
No, I gave up smoking weed 30 odd years ago, maybe 40 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good job because it's not legal in England. Canada legalised marijuana quite recently. Out of interest, what should I be calling weed in like a professional environment? Should I be calling it marijuana, MJ?
So, yeah. I don't think MJ. Nobody calls it MJ.
No one does. I just couldn't think
like
of it.
Years ago, some people thought... Pot, weed, any of those. But years ago, people wanted to get down with the kids. I'm talking in the 60s when I was one of the kids. And people would be trying to get down with the kids, say, hey, I'm going to smoke some Mary Jane. And they used to call it and nobody who actually smoked it ever called it Mary Jane. In the same way as nobody, I don't think, calls it MJ.
I think people might call it Mary Jane in an ironic sense now.
Yeah, go on. Well, anyway, interesting enough, when we get to the... There's more about irony when we get to our musical spot.
Good. I love irony.
Well, we've got a bit there. Go on, tell me.
Weed will be legal nationwide in Canada starting October 17th. So it's been made legal, but it doesn't become legal till October. Sorry. In a move that should take market shares away from organised crime and protect the country's youth... So Justin Trudeau said on Wednesday, Trudeau, the most attractive of world leaders. Am I allowed to say that?
You can say he's the most attractive world leaders, but he is. He has been accused of groping a reporter.
Yeah, I saw this and I was very... Because he's done... his cabinet is like the transport secretary is a former bus driver and the education secretary is a former teacher. And it's really like a good cabinet of how it should be, the people. They're not all just Jeremy Corbyns who have... gone to university and then become politicians, but they're people who've had jobs and stuff.
I should say Jeremy Corbyn isn't in the cabinet.
He's not in the cabinet. I mean politicians.
You mean Jeremy Hunt's and people like that?
Yeah. David Cameron's. Yeah, I mean, and also not in the...
cabinet.
I realise that David Cameron is not
David
in
Cameron
the cabinet.
Is sitting with his trotters up, according to...
He was at the V&A opening with Brooklyn Beckham.
Really?
Yeah, it's him and Samantha Cameron.
Shocking. I'm amazed that he has the effrontery to show his face in public. And I'm amazed he can show his face in public without people throwing rotten fruit at it. But there you
and
go.
I'm also amazed that he would be invited to something that's high profile like that. So Justin Trudeau said, provincial and territorial governments need the time to prepare for retail sales. I was kind of... A lot of people who you would think would be so pro for Canada legalising weed... Seth Rogen's come out and said how brilliant he is as a Canadian and a famous pothead. But a lot of people have talked about this like addiction for profit idea and how regulating it is monopolising the weed industry and it's not going to be going to people who would have made the money from it. It's now going to be going to big government taxes.
We'll go to the government taxes and you have to... You get a chance to vote for the government and that's democracy. You have to expect that the government will use the money to further the cause of the nation because that's what the government's there for. If you believe in democracy, I would say I can't see the objection in the government taking profit out of cannabis.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have said about England legalising it, which is more... relevant for us.
Not with our international audience.
Mark, we've not going to get... I've got any Canadian listeners, I don't think. Who knows? If you're Canadian...
If you're Canadian, we must give that address out.
Send us a picture of you smoking a spliff.
Right, go on.
A lot of people have said that the gap that will be left in the NHS when we leave the EU or whatever could be very easily filled with taxes from weed. Like it's a similar amount probably that they would make based on how many people smoke weed-ish. And so I was just wondering, do you think more people smoked weed back in the 60s? Because from my point of view, the swinging 60s and Woodstock has been sold to me as this time when everyone was high for 10 years and... That was, and police didn't really get involved, and it wasn't
Oh no, the police did get involved. I remember when I first started, I didn't smoke weed in the 60s. I can't remember smoking it at university. I smoked, you know, a fair bit in the 70s, early 70s when I became a newspaper reporter. But, you know, because then I could get it from the police. They'd give me, but when I did the police calls. But the police was, I can remember reporting my very early days on local newspapers, and we're talking about 1971 now. That there would be court cases every week, absolute court cases. The police would find a very small bit of cannabis resin, a tiny little bit, in a matchbox somewhere in a pub, and people would get fined £25 or whatever. Yeah, but Woodstock, nobody was much concerned about people smoking pot in those days. Mick Jagger has an interest. I mean, he's not a podcast listener, but he does have an interest. He does have an interest because I'm sure he's got teenage. He's probably got children of every. He's probably got children
every
in
generation.
Their 50s, in their 30s, in their 20s, teenagers, and little toddlers. I think he has got
weird.
A very, very young one. Yeah, you think Jeff Goldblum is weird. Mm. But I don't see that as weird. I see that as showbiz. But this is Mick Jagger with a very interesting idea.
Well, the whole question of legalising drugs is fraught with... someone asked me this the other day, and I said, well, you know, I don't know if I got into trouble, because I don't think... Yeah, I think, but, you know, usually you try these things out in very small places. You know, like, so you try this in... You know, like, you try a new product out in a small kind of society or an island somewhere. And in England, they always try out new mobile phones in the Isle of Man. So they've got a captive society. So I said, you should try the legalisation of all drugs on the Isle of Man and see what happens. You know, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah, so that's his idea. You just
legalise
everything on the Isle of Man. A lot of old people as well on the Isle of Man. How they would react to it. Of all the places in the world, you want to experiment with legalising all drugs, which is what
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. I don't think you should legalise all drugs, because a lot of drugs are really dangerous and kill people all the time. But there's been like 2 reported cases of people dying from weed and in the whole history of use of cannabis.
Ooh, I should think that.
That's what, when I was Googling to find stuff, that it most places stated 2. Obviously, other people have died when they've been high, but actually from the weed, it came out as like 2.
Well, yes, because and there have been people who
it's
contributed to paranoia. You know, people.
A lot of people start to forget stuff as well. I've known people who have forgotten like whole chunks of time, or like have been doing exams.
So, what are you? I mean, as a 17-year-old,
I think legalise it.
Well, that's not very exciting, because we're both in complete agreement.
Do you think legalise them as well?
Yeah, I do. I do. So we're both...
Good news?
It is good news. Both generations. Be interesting to get someone in the middle, you know, a millennial, and see what the view there is. But I suspect, again...
I think
it's just,
pretty
it
much
seems
across
such a logical
the...
Case,
yeah, yeah. Even people who are not interested in using it, I think, are pretty much on board.
Yeah. Should we take a very short break now for a commercial... And for a product or a podcast that we are 100% behind, in whichever country it's going out,
we're passionate.
We're passionate about this product. How much do we love the product? All the love.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, time for a bit of music. Now, Ruth, I've got a tweet here from somebody on Twitter, calls him or herself Lying to Meet You. And it says, I'm listening to show 20 plus. I've heard them all. That's good. It's 20, well, there'll be 22
now. A lot
of episodes. A hell of a lot of episodes. 22, that's time 22 times 30 minutes. What's that? That's hours and hours.
Go on, tell me what the actual number is, please, Dad.
It's hours. Anyway, I've heard them all, and I've noticed that whilst you play, that's me, Jake Thackeray and other genres, Ruthie keeps playing the same type of music on every episode. Can she play examples of other types of music? Keep up the good work. So what you've got for us this, which is not entirely fair, because we've had other stuff as well, but the last two or three weeks we've had grime.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like, if I choose indie boy bands, it's very similar to music you've heard tons and tons of times.
Because they all sound like the Beatles, sort of
exactly,
thing, more or less. Well, you've chosen a pop song this week.
Also, yeah. I've played grime and gangster rap, like different types of rap.
Different types of rap. So, yeah. So what am I saying to him? Get lost.
Two fingers.
We're only joking, lying to meet you. Now, but this week you've chosen a pop song. Tell me about Sigrid.
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 Yeah. Or Ingrid, as you called her earlier. She falls into what I call my category of kind of crappy girl pop.
Why?
But good girl pop.
Ah, good girl pop.
It's good girl pop, but it's that kind of very Euro pop. It's just straight down the line pop. Pop, pop, pop.
So this is just a tune that you like?
It's just a tune that I like.
Brilliant.
And I'll explain a little bit more afterwards.
Okay, here we are. Let's have a listen.
When the curtain drops, our touch is just a touch. No like in the movies, our story's after the end. Like strangers, perfect pretenders.
So that sounds like a hit to me. That's Strangers. Is it a hit?
Strangers,
Sigrid?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hit. It's her.
Is she,
I would think,
Danish,
it's her most,
or Swedish?
She is Norwegian.
Ah.
And again, there's a little bit of a trend for girl. First of all, there's a trend generally for girl singers.
Mm.
And I think this is something that you didn't really have as much in the 60s. You had girl singers, but this like singer songwriter pop girl is, I would say, solo girls are more popular than solo boys. There's not really, apart from Ed Sheeran, there's not that many.
Well, there's no room for any more. They're cheering.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
He's pretty much got that down. But there's tons of these girls. There's, you know, Dua Lipa, who's really, really popular, and she's from Belarus, I think.
Mm-hmm.
First Aid Kit, who we've heard before, they're from Sweden.
Pop
and
has become very feminised, you know.
Completely.
Yeah.
So this, like, what I call, it's called crappy girl pop.
Yeah, well, fair enough. But it's crappy girl
pop. Very enjoyable and very nice to dance to and stuff, so.
A little bit of a summer treat for the listener. And they can
find it is very summery.
Yeah, find
you
it
can
on
find
Spotify.
Our Spotify playlist. Just
not
search.
Not yet, but you will have.
It's not on there yet.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we're playing. And I don't know what... I think you've not heard of the... This is 90s. I play lots of stuff from the 50s, 60s, and a bit from the 70s. I'm going to play something from the 90s now, which was a big hit.
Modern.
When I was a famous disc jockey and playing tunes on the radio. This was a big hit at that point. And it's Alanis Morissette. Do you know Alanis?
Oh, I know Alanis Morissette really well. Yeah.
Ah, good. Because I thought 90s... Because you were born in 2000.
I mean, her album, Jagged Little Pill, so this... I mean, probably know a bit too much for this to be you introducing me to music.
I'm not introducing you. You're telling me more than I can tell you. But
her album Jagged Little Pill is quite iconic as like a bit of a breakup-y type album.
Mm.
And in the film The Internship, which is about that film about Google that's actually very good and quite funny with Owen Wilson in, they sing Ironic in the car. And it's really funny. Yeah, Ironic has become a bit of a sort of cult song.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it,
shall we? Oh, is that the song? Sorry.
That's what I've chosen. From the album Jagged Little Pill, which sold 33 million copies globally. So I suppose it was... But I thought it might have just slipped under your radar.
Yeah, no, it's
in the
quite
way
possible.
That Sheryl Crow did, didn't it? Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, Alanis Morissette, I think, just because of the how many film references.
Yeah.
And, like, I actually know, like, all the words to Ironic.
Well, join in.
He packed his suitcase, kissed his kids goodbye. He waited his whole damn life to take that flight. And as the plane crashed down, he thought, well, isn't this nice? And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Well,
We didn't even get to hear the...
No, we only have 20 seconds.
For review purposes.
That's right. So I chose that little bit simply because It's not ironic. Do you know this argument? About she's called, the song's called Ironic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's got various things which are ironic. She says,
rain on your wedding day.
Yeah.
A free ride when you've already paid.
Wow, you know it, you know this song.
Some good advice that you just didn't take.
The song's usage of the word ironic attracted media attention for an improper application of the term. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, irony is, quotes, a figure of speech in which the intended meaning is the opposite of that expressed by the words used.
Yeah, it technically is not. But
so lyrics such as, it's like rain on your wedding day and a traffic jam when you're already late are not ironic.
No.
Song should be called something else.
Irony, when we talk about irony like in English class and you have to say, it's ironic because of this. It's ironic.
Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly. It's ironic when Juliet kills herself because she doesn't know that Romeo, the audience knows that Romeo's alive, whatever. But the thing is, though, I don't like when people get bugbears about small bits of language like that, because language is constantly evolving.
That's not a small bit. She's called the whole song ironic, okay, and nothing's ironic.
No. I don't like when people have a go nitpick with bits of language like that, because language is constantly evolving and the term irony has changed its meaning like that. Same as I was having a
surrealism. Surreal.
Surreal is different.
Because, I don't see, surreal is not different.
Oh, so is different.
I saw a reporter on ITV, young reporter. Let's go over to...
Because whatever. You wouldn't be able to define that as a meaning. When Alanis Morissette uses ironic, right, in that sense, you could define it.
No, not ironic. It's the same as football commentators who, a player scores a goal and they say, ironically, he used to play for West... You know, he's just scored against West Bromwich Albion. Ironically, he used to play for West Bromwich Albion. You think,
no, but that's
the same use as
Alanis Morissette's use.
Yeah, but it's not right.
No, but I'm saying that that's another way to use the word, but just the
dictionary. It's a wrong way to use the word.
No, but I don't agree. Anyway, we were talking about this the other day with my friends about how, like, words change their meaning and then people get upset about it and it's really stupid, because actually, bringing it back to Love Island... Mm. Laura called Megan a slut and everyone was in uproar because she shouldn't have called her a slut because of the meaning of that word, but it's kind of changed its meaning into not just being a... I mean, technically it means a person with no sexual morals, but that's not really what it means anymore. It just means someone who does crappy things.
I'm quite happy with all that sort of thing, but ironic is like, let me tell you, surreal. Right? Let's start with surreal.
That is annoying, though.
Well, it's no more annoying than saying things. It's ironic when it's raining on your wedding day. That's not ironic in one little sense. But because A, you know it's your wedding day, and B, you know it's raining. There's no information out there that you're not aware of. That's what ironic it means.
Yeah.
When you're not
aware
of it.
No, I know what it means. I'm just saying that it's taken on a different meaning.
Yeah, well, I think Alanis Morissette ought to return all the money paid for those 33 million copies of Jagged Little Pill. So, ironic Alanis Morissette. Yours was Sigrid and Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to hear both those tunes in full, because we're only allowed 20 seconds for review purposes, where do they go?
They go to our Spotify, and you can either search Martin and Ruth and find it that way, and then you'll click onto our profile and then to the playlist. Or you can just type in Ruthie, Me and My Dad, which is the name of the podcast, and that'll take you straight to the playlist.
Yeah, there you go. And all the songs that we've played, whether they're grime or they're gangster rap or they're just crappy pop, will all be there. Or Jake Thackeray, they'll all be there on our Spotify account. And if you want to email us, it's Martin and Ruth Podcast, all one word, like a big German word. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And if you do that, we'll probably give you a mention on the podcast, and you'll get a one word reply from me.
Would you like to keep up with the Kardashians?
I would.
So, I've got two pieces of news for you, because I just couldn't decide which was more interesting for you. North West, who is Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's daughter, is to star in her first ever fashion campaign for Fendi alongside Kris Jenner and Kim Kardashian.
Okay, how old is North West?
Like three.
Oh, three, right.
Maybe younger.
How's she coping with the name North West? Because they'll take the mickey out of her at school if she goes to a school with other people. But anyway, go on.
She'll go to a school with the people, but they'll all have names like Apple and Pear and stuff, so it'll be fine. Poor little Northwester. And the other piece of news is Kim Kardashian says, "There's literally nothing on TV that I like," and then is swiftly reminded that she is, in fact, on TV.
Well, that's like one of those things, TV is not for watching. And Noel Coward once said, well, TV is not for watching, it's for appearing on.
Do you want to hear what the meme of the week is? Because sometimes we forget meme of the week.
Sometimes we forget. Let's put it in now, quickly.
Roadman, sat in Mackie's behind me, just said to his mate, "You shouldn't objectify women, fam. That's not on. She's a painting, but she's a person too, innit? And I'm living for it."
Could you run that past me one more time?
Okay.
Sort of a little more slowly.
Roadman, sat in Mackie's behind me, just said to his mate, "You shouldn't objectify women, fam. That's not on. She's a painting, but she's a person too, innit? And I'm living for it."
Innit? A peng.
Painting.
A peng-ting.
Yeah.
That's a new one, not like a peng sort. A peng-ting.
It means the same thing.
But it means the same thing.
Peng-ting.
Is there, are there sort of shades of meaning between a peng-ting and a peng sort?
Maybe a peng sort is slightly better looking.
And they always call it Mackies, do they? Mackies. Some people call it Mackie D.
To you, I'd call it McDonald's, but to my friend, I'd call it Mackies.
Yeah. Not that you ever go there. Or that you
have... No, I do. I go there quite a lot now.
Oh, do you?
Not tons, but I go there when I'm with my friends, just because it's cheap.
And what do you have being a pescatarian?
Well, I used to get mozzarella sticks, but they've stopped doing those, and now they do cheese bites.
They've stopped doing mozzarella sticks?
Yeah, they changed them. If anyone works at McDonald's or has an inroad to McDonald's, ask them why they don't just put mozzarella sticks on the, like, permanent menu, because they change them all the time. And they had cheese bites came out, and they came with like a Christmassy sauce, and it was like, they're fine, but they're not as good as mozzarella sticks. And then like another cheese bite type thing came out, and then there was like one that was called like Herbie cheese or something, which is fine but not as good as mozzarella sticks. And everyone loves mozzarella sticks and talks about them all the time, but they've just So I don't know why they do it.
They're trying to cater for vegetarians, but it sounds to me like whatever
they
do...
They do it. I've had a veggie delight burger. A veggie deluxe, actually, yeah, I think it's called.
That's a veggie burger.
And that was quite nice as well.
So, but for pescatarians like
a
yourself...
A McFlurry.
Yeah. For pescatarians, or as I read in one food review this week, Dolly Alderton, like yourself, is a pescatarian. And she was writing about being a pescatarian... Or, she writes, as my friends call it, a fish and chippocrit. Which I think is a rather good
that
one.
That is good, that's funny. Yeah.
In that case, we can sack it off.
I don't like how this has become a catchphrase.
Well, it has, so you'll have to live with it. It's rather like...
I wanted my catchphrase to be...
What do you want your catchphrase to be, Ruth?
I wanted it to be...
You can't
I told
invent
you this.
A catchphrase.
I know, but I told you this before.
Organically.
I wanted it to be, "You're not wrong there."
Well, we'll try that.
I wanted me to go like, you to be like, "Oh, I really like..."
Alanis Morissette.
And I'd be like, no, it would have to be like, "This tea's really nice," like if I'd made it for you. And then I'd go, "You're not wrong there." And then the audience would all go, "You're not wrong there." And I've told you this loads of times because I just think it would really work. And I swear someone must already have that as their catchphrase.
I think they've used that in things like Alan Partridge on the telly.
Do you think?
Where he had a... I think he had this guy called Patrick Marbury, who was one of his stock company, who came in and presented... Maybe the listeners can enlighten us on this. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. But I think one
You're
of
really
the,
flogging that email.
Well, I like to get emails because at least it's... You know, I think if you get some feedback... I mean, I get little enough feedback from you, apart from on the podcast. Well, yeah, when we're at home, you hardly talk. But, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. But one of us may be able to enlighten us, because I think Patrick Marber played a comedian, and he came on stage and said, "It's great to be here," and all the audience shouted out, "You're not wrong there," or something like that. So I think we're going to have to stick with sack it off.
Right, well, let's.
So we've done the podcast for this week. Thank you ever so much for all your interaction. I appreciate it, even if she doesn't. And you will
I do.
And you will get one-word replies from me, lowercase. Thank you ever so much. But right now, it's time to...
Sack it off.
Suck it off.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.